Right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. If you believe, you say amen.
Amen.
If you believe that the Lord heard your prayers and he has answered them, give me an amen.
Amen.
As I usual with our custom here, we after praying like this, we study the Word of God for a while, and then we continue the prayers and meditation. So, before we go into the teaching, let's quickly take our declaration of understanding as we usually do. Are you ready with me? All right, once, let's go then. Now I declare.
The Lord
has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, and I'm being filled with the knowledge of His will, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I'm pleasing Him in all respects. I'm bearing fruit in every good work, and I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to His word. Word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area. And it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, the Lord is good. Let's take our seats quickly. Remember, if you are not sanctified, you are not useful. What did I say? Who's responsible for your sanctification? No, answer me. Who's responsible? I am. Thank you. That's a very good way to answer it. Who's responsible for your sanctification? Say it again.
I am.
Say it like you believe it.
I am.
If the Lord gives a word of sanctification, it's your responsibility to apply it. You say, hallelujah, for the marriage of the Lamb has come. All right. And you say what? The bride has made herself what? Ready. It's the bride that makes herself ready. Let's bear that in mind. God gives us His word of sanctification. He says, sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth. So He gives us that word of sanctification, but we have a responsibility to apply it. Jesus said, for their sakes, I do what? I sanctify myself. There is nothing that God wants to use you for, on the good side, that you will not prepare for it by cleansing yourself, keeping yourself clean. It's very important. I said to us again and again, let's take our Christianity seriously. Let nobody come and give you a superficial healing, superficial comfort, superficial, which word do I use now? Feeling of good well-being. By trying to emphasize so much. Now, please, I'm not saying those things are not true. I'm not saying God doesn't love you. I'm not saying God is looking for who will injure, who He will punish. I hope you're getting my point. But please don't take on. If you know things that are being spoken to you, all right? Some things are not your own. You are not the one that's under condemnation. You're not the one that feels unworthy. You are getting what I'm going? And that they need to recover. Come, okay, like now if they are preaching the gospel now. God loves sinners. He's ready to forgive any sin. No matter where you are coming from. Now, is it true of us? No, answer me. Is it true of us? Are they talking to you? If you have already answered the call, if you have given your life to Christ Jesus, those things are true, but they are not really yours right now. It's good you know them, use them to encourage other people, but please, it's not your level. I'll begin my point. That's why Paul will say, let us go on to maturity. It's important. Let's go on to maturity. Not laying again the foundation of a departure from repentance from dead works. I'm not saying that we shouldn't repent from dead works. I'm just saying that it gets to a point. You know, like I said to you, if you are having an argument somewhere and they're saying that, like the ones that's flying around now, how some men in the Bible have many wives and they please God, and some had one wife and they displease God. Now, these are conversations I don't get involved in. I found out recently, I was reading my Bible. He said to the crafty, he shows himself as what? About three things he said to what else? To the fro. There are different things. You know, the Holy Spirit just helped me see what he was saying. It wasn't that if you are crafty, God will become crafty. No. If you're a crafty person, you will think God is crafty. Do you get my point? If you're a wicked person, you will think God is wicked when you see Him doing things. But if you have a heart of holiness and righteousness, you will see holiness and righteousness in everything that He's doing. Now, where I'm going is that, so when people are following something, I say like, please, me and you are not in the same. I'm trying to press into God. So that there's not one jot, not one iota of anything he wrote concerning my life that will go unfulfilled. You're asking me that even if I deny it, will I go to heaven? Do you get my point? You are trying to pull me into a conversation of,
Even if I commit adultery and lie and cheat and steal, is my salvation intact? Who cares? Who cares? I'm talking about there's 30-fold, there's 60-fold, there's 100-fold. And I am not satisfied with 99-fold. Then you want to catch me in a conversation of adulterers going to hellfire. I wouldn't know because I wouldn't go there. And when you are there, everybody's in darkness. After those who go there, say they saw Michael Jackson backsliding, they didn't see anything. Nobody sees the hellfire. It's called utter darkness. Where the only thing you get there, you'll be hearing is weeping and what? Gnashing of teeth. You don't hear anybody dancing, say, tomorrow is hellfire party. There's nothing like that. It's intense darkness. And that is easy for me to comprehend. I can understand that one. I know enough physics to know how easy it is to achieve darkness. He just forgot to just withdraw his presence. And everything is dark. You know, this universe is dark. People don't know that. This universe is intensely dark. It's dark. It's defaultly dark. It's only where you find a star emitting light. So if God packs all the stars, you don't want to be there. You won't know whether you are up or you are down. You won't know whether you are standing straight or standing. You don't know whether your nose is up or you're under your feet. You don't even know whether you have feet. So when he says there is outer darkness, it's true. There is. All he needs to do is withdraw his presence. If he removes it from you for 5 seconds, you will go mad. Irrecoverably mad. Where am I going? So I don't have time to be having any conversation with anybody on they went to hellfire and they saw people backsliding there. I don't believe you. I don't believe you. Nobody dances in hellfire. Nobody backslides. The only thing you get there is intensely dark and you are hearing moaning and gnashing of teeth. That's all. Please, nobody should get into some conversations. You should be too serious with life. I found out. And I said something the other day. When I was trying to package the message, I heard myself say it. I said, Pastor Bang, you bold. I said, David did not fulfill everything that God wanted him to fulfill. And I still mean it. You said, the Bible says he served the purpose of God in his generation. Look, when the Bible says that Job, all right, was, how do you describe Job? Was the most righteous. What did God say? The Bible said he still was able to accuse him with unrighteousness. So Job himself said it. I heard of you with the hearing of my ears. Now I see you. Then what happened? I repent in dust and ashes. A man who was righteous. You have to understand when things are relative. Everybody is perfect until they compare them with God. That is why one of these great men, I think it's Martin Luther, he said, you don't assess your holiness by other people's iniquity. After everybody is stealing, I'm not stealing. Do you know what you're supposed to be doing that you're not doing? With his people, God really doesn't have time. Serious people doesn't have time to be counting what you did not do. It's what you did. The servant, blessed is the servant who the master what? Finds what? So not so not doing. Is the one that is blessed is the one that the master finds so doing. We get occupied with what we don't do. I like one thing John Graham Lake said once. Trying to describe this negative attitude towards Christianity on what I don't do. Said a man went to the beach one day and he saw a crab. And he said, Mr. Crab, how are you doing? Crab said, fine, just taking a walk. Said, do you smoke? Crab said, I don't smoke. Do you drink? The crab said, I don't drink. Do you womanize? The crab said, no. So the guy said, oh, I've met a fellow crab. Shook his hand. Do you get my point? That if you, you know, if you are defining yourself by what you don't do, you'll be in company of useless things like crabs. Do you follow my point? That is, hey, we should be preoccupied with going deeper. We should be preoccupied with going higher. We should be preoccupied with hundredfold blessing. That God, there is nothing you have written for my life that will not fulfill. And I was trying to make a statement a few moments ago. I just skipped it. The extent to which you fulfill that is determined by how much of purification you do in your life. I was talking about David, remember? Did David do everything? No.
Was he okay? Well, he didn't do badly for his generation. For his generation, he did okay. But Banky, do you think everything went well with David? I don't believe so. And I have many reasons for saying it. The good thing about David is that God put him out there. Please, let me just say this again, because such nonsense flies around and they sow seeds in people's hearts. The fact that God didn't see anything doesn't mean God approved. Did you hear what I said?
Yes, sir.
What did I say? It doesn't mean they approved. I told you again and again. The day David married his second wife, God felt bad. Just didn't say anything. He said, there's nothing I want to say, tell David. He won't hear. The day he married the third one, God said, just leave him. The fourth one, he said, don't talk to him. He can't understand. The fifth one, the angels are used to it. The sixth one, the angel said, Lord said, at least thank God in heaven there's no marrying or giving in marriage. The eighth one, the ninth one, he took some concubines. God just said, look, that chapter, let's not discuss it. But he will reap the consequences. Discussion or no, like Americans will say. Whether we discuss it or not, he will reap the consequences. And he did. And he did. So nobody should be trying to sow nonsense seeds in your heart. Because, listen, those people, go and read Hebrews chapter 11. After I outlined all of them, he said, hey, now you have seen all of this. Looking on to what? Jesus. That is, look away from Abraham. Look away from Isaac. Look away from Jacob. Look away from Moses. Look away from David. Look away from all of these people. Fix your eyes on Jesus. The author, literally, the author and finisher of faith. Not your faith. Literal Greek says, the author and finisher of faith. None of those men finished. None. To get what Jesus was like, you have to take the good side of David, good side of Abraham, good side of... You think Abraham... Look, you have to know God's kindness. He's mindful that we are but flesh. So he overlooks a lot of things. Why will you deny your own wife and call her your sister? And you think God didn't notice? He didn't see anything. Doesn't mean he approved of it. But God took the good side of Abraham. Took the good side of Isaac. The good side of... do I need to tell you about Jacob? But he had some good sides. He took that good side. He kept on going, took the good side of David. Listen, a lot of people don't like God today because of David. Yeah, if you are a Palestinian and you read the Bible, it will take God. Look, if you see Arabs and Palestinians, give them New Testament. If you give them Old Testament to read, they are not coming to church. You don't know David. David will be hungry. He will go to a village and kill everybody and take their food. Every single person. Man, woman, and children. Now, you say, so is that okay with God? Time will not let me go into that in details. But God used that for his purpose. There was nobody he... Now, see, if God wants to kill people, he will not choose Peter to do it. You say, what are the Romans for? Take the Romans, use them to kill. And you read the scriptures. Sometimes God uses people for ignoble purposes. But what he expects, oh God, so many things about it. If you have hope in you, a time will come. Look, persecuting the church, you'll be surprised, was an instruction God gave that Saul of Tarsus carried out. But he had to repent of hatred for the people of God. God just took David, that part of David. God said, let's use it to execute our judgment as written against these people. That was not God's ideal man. If he was, why did God forbid him from building a temple? Was that not the very reason God said, you can't build a temple for me? Yeah. God said, hey, David, please, these kind of hands don't build temples. So nobody should go around forwarding rubbish to you to sow nonsense seeds in your heart. Because God loved a part of a man and then overlooked his shortcomings and then said he did bad, but God approved of him. No. The Bible says in times past, in the times of darkness, God winked, that is overlooked, did like he did not see. True believers in Christ Jesus, we are striving for perfection. Jesus said, be perfect as David was perfect. Be perfect as Abraham was perfect. Be perfect as Isaiah was perfect. Be perfect as the saints of old were perfect. What did he say? As who? Your heavenly Father. Please know where you draw your comparison from. Know who's your yardstick. Know who's your standard. Know who you are trying to be like. Please know who you are trying to be like. You are not trying to be like David. There are certain parts of David that God used to show you a portion of Jesus. Listen, let me go over this again. If there's a series, if you go through our different teachings, we do character-based preaching, instructions once in a while. I can't remember all of them, but I know we've done David, the man after God's heart. We described him. We've talked about learning from Moses. Moses, we did, I mean, that one, I don't think it was less than 30 on Moses alone. The gospel according to Isaac. We learned about Ruth. Yes, it was a gospel according to... No, is it something inspired by Isaac? Thank you. Different people. We studied Ruth. We studied Isaac. We studied Abraham. We studied Moses. All right, different persons we have looked at. But there's something I always did. Anytime we start one, I will tell you that this is how it works. I don't care about David. I will say that. I don't care about Isaac. Why am I looking at their lives? Because the Holy Spirit said, "Bank, come, let me show you something." Because I used to wonder, why did the father say, "This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased"? It was not favoritism. It was not favoritism. It was training and examination, and that was the result. Do you get my point? He was trained, he was tested, and he was called, and he passed excellently. And the father declared his jump result, his PhD thesis result, and said, "This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased." Now, before he said that, we learned very little about him. When he was a little boy, what? He was born. Was that his work? He was carried. "Arise, take the mother, the child and the mother, and run to Egypt and stay there until I tell you." Was that him? The only thing we learned about his life was around the age of 12. He went to the temple and he was there teaching all the elders the word of God. True or false? False. He was there asking questions. And the people were amazed at the depths of questions that he asked. Many people don't know that he was so wise. He was teaching. He never taught his elders. He had too much sense to do such things. He asked, you know, he would ask some questions. He'd be like, "Why?" No, really. It's happened to me before. I remember once I sat two of my children down. I think it was Benga and his younger sister. I sat them down, discussed some things with them. And then I said, "Any questions?" It was the kind of question they asked that made me, my jaw drop. Like, these people are this old. There were instructions I gave before. And Benga said, "Okay, daddy, please. I just want to know. Why did you say this when you said that?" In my mind, I thought you just said, "Daddy said." No. The young mind was curious. Why would he give that kind of instruction? I remember once. The same one. This guy, he came to me in the room. He said, "Daddy, I want to ask you something." He said, Akin did not send me. Let's just get this. He said, "Nobody sent me. I just want to know, what exactly did we do wrong that made you seize our PS4? Yeah, because it was brand new. You know, my wife just arrived. She traveled abroad and delivered the PS4. And I saw this is years ago. So you can imagine when it was still new, the intent, you know, the cost of these things. And I'm like, "Where did people get this from?" They said they called their grandmother that they want. So I seized it. And don't dare me, I seized it for 6 months. But not 2 days. I took the game, tossed into my overhead stuff in the wardrobe in the room, and left it there. So after some days, the guy came, like, "Daddy, look, so I'm not angry with you. You know, you are the daddy. You are the correct daddy. You know all these things. I just want to know what we did wrong." And I was forced to sit him down and explain that if I deny you something, it's not because I can't afford it. You don't have the right to go above my head, to go and ask your grandmother to buy something that's so expensive for you just because you think maybe I said, no, it's out of order. If you wanted to do that, you'll have to. And really, just by the way, for parents, I called my mother-in-law and I begged her then, please don't do this again. If my children ask you for anything, you ask me first whether I can get it for them. And she apologized. I mean, she okay, that she didn't think of it like that. Ah. Now, what I'm talking about is that he actually came and started asking questions. That's when I realized, let's see, children are, don't assume they don't know. At the age of two, explain. And give a rational explanation. Don't give a baby explanation. We're not going out because, you know, the sun comes from the north to the south. Don't be silly. The child is wondering, what is wrong with daddy? I remember one movie we saw long ago. One little baby was in the court. So one woman went there, oh, the baby, baby, baby. The baby said, oh, she's gone mad. To the baby, people talk normally. Oh, please, digression. Training babies. I learned this long ago. Never repeat a baby's mistakes. You reinforce it. If baby wants to say daddy and they say jaji, don't go and say hey jaji. No, say daddy. He or she was trying to say daddy and it came out as jaji. You'll be a nonsense man to go there and reinforce it. You give the baby what he's trying to attain. When you want to laugh at jaji, let him grow old first. And then when you were 2 years, you know, you used to call daddy Zaja. And they will laugh. I learned that long ago. So I don't repeat any mistake children make in the way they pronounce things. Because they are trying to learn the right thing. Now that's an aside. I've taken some time on that, okay? So, Jesus went and he was asking questions that impressed the people. I talked about the one my children asked. That's not what I was talking about. Jesus was talking about, why was it that God told Abraham to listen to the voice of his wife? Meanwhile, he was angry with Adam that he listened to the voice of his wife. And the rabbis looked at each other and said, this lecture will continue tomorrow. Yeah, that was the kind of thing. He showed to them he had read the Torah. He showed them he had read things. He was asking questions that made them, but listen, he was asking questions. And he wasn't testing them, he wanted to know. He wanted to know. He wasn't testing them. He wanted to know. Now, that's an aside. So I wonder that, okay, this Jesus, why, come on. We don't have anything in the Bible. Yeah, the Father said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am pleased. On what basis? And the Holy Spirit just told him, Banke, come. That's why you have Hebrews chapter 11. They itemized it for you there. That's why you have Genesis all the way to Malachi. These things were itemized for you there. Some of them, even Matthew, Mark, and Luke, also there. And John also. Look at the lives of the saints of old. You will see what God approved in each life. Put them together. Scores of them. Put them together. That was what God found complete in the person of Jesus Christ. That was what he found. So whatever good thing you saw in Joseph, it was in him. Whatever good thing you saw in David, it was in him. Whatever good thing you saw in Ruth or Rahab, they were in him. Whatever good thing you saw in Isaac, in all those men, even Samson. Samson, that's something good. Oh, I hope you know, life is quantified. There are different kinds of levels of things in life. Remember the son of Jeroboam, the little boy who was sick when his mother went to go and see the prophet. God told the prophet, tell the woman, as soon as your foot touches the threshold of the house, the child will die. He's the only one that will get a decent burial. Why? Something good was found in him. Probably was the only one that visited some of the servants when they were sick and took food there. Small aside, I saw one video yesterday. I won't tell the name of the guy, but one crazy guy looked crazy. He looked like a madman. If I mention it, some of you know things happening in the world, you will know. I didn't know. I had to Google his name that yesterday. I stumbled into the video while checking something on YouTube. The guy said, I don't know anything about racism. I don't know anything about racism. As I talked, the guy's a star. I mean, he said he sold over, I think, 100 million albums and downloads and stuff. Crazy looking guy. I don't know anything about racism. Racism mean nothing. I mean nothing to me, man. Racism ain't mean nothing to me. You know, the way American blacks are high on something. The way they talk. Why is it? Because at the age of 12, he shot himself. He said by accident. Investigation later said no. It was an attempt at suicide. Maybe somebody called the police when they heard the gun. They bashed into the house, you know, poor area. He was there on the floor, bleeding. And everybody that came, white, black, whatever, jumped over him to go and look for guns and drugs in the house. And they were finding the guns and finding the drugs and all of that. And one off-duty white policeman came in and started fighting everybody. Are you people out of your mind? Didn't you see the little boy here bleeding? He had a hole in his chest and he was bleeding. Did nobody check him? So they literally jumped over him to go and look for crime. He said, so that man picked him up and told him, look, don't die on me. Don't die on me. You'll be fine. He carried him into a police vehicle. They said, okay, we've called the ambulance. The guy said, are you people crazy? When did the ambulance get here? Took him into a police vehicle and made sure they drove him to the emergency room. That was what saved his life at the age of 12. Said the guy was white. He said, so raising him in hand, man. He doesn't believe, you can't tell him a white man is bad. So whatever you say, the guy doesn't believe white people are bad. He said, the only reason why I'm alive today is because of a white man. Like I said, just more offside gist. So something good was found in that boy. Something good. And God said, for that reason, he's the only one that will get a decent burial. Every other person will be left by the roadside. Vultures and dogs will eat their remnants. But this one will be buried like a prince in Israel. Because something. So people have something. They often have something. It may be bad. They have something. Some of these people, it is something that I'm talking about. Sometimes these are some things that are plenty. I hope you get my point. And that is what they were showing concerning the person of Jesus. And that's why God said, look, I'm not going to write so many books again for you to know what Jesus was like. See, the good thing in the life of Joseph, that's Jesus that he was exemplifying. See, all the good things in the life of Abraham, that's Jesus for you. All the good things, the love for the inheritance, the passion to get the best of God that he found in Jacob, that's Jesus. The coolness of heart that he found in Isaac, who waited patiently. His father was marrying Hagar, Abby. Isaac didn't marry nobody. The children running up and down. Isaac cooled down, in case you don't know, it took 20 years for his wife to have Esau and Jacob. People will be sitting down there talking about Isaac, talking about Abraham. He took Hagar, and God still loved him. Don't be stupid. The father told Isaac, don't try it. He knew it was not good. You want to sit in the error. You want to sit in the error of Abraham that he corrected in the life of Isaac. You want to sit in it. So, anyway, the point I'm making is this. So we looked at all of those things, all of those people, to pick out certain traits that put together constituted the Son of God. So we're not trying to be like any one of them. So if I'm showing you the good things in David, I don't want to be like David. I want to be like Jesus. Well, I looked through David to see a part of Jesus that was not recorded. I take the life of Joseph and I take it apart and look at it with a microscope. I'm not trying to be like Joseph. Even though that guy, nothing bad was recorded about him, not one thing. Daniel, okay, yes, Daniel, there's nothing. Yeah. Daniel, yes, nothing to about Daniel. Samuel had some bad things, so his sons were very stupid boys. Samuel's sons, they were not like their father at all. And if you read the Bible, God doesn't like people who don't train their children well. You know what it means? If it was a New Testament church, Samuel would be a prophet, wouldn't be a deacon. I hope you're getting my point. So let's get this clear. I'm happy this way this is going. So all of us, you know that what we are striving at. If you become as good as Samuel, God is not impressed. You have to be better. So that's why Jesus never put Samuel and all of those as your standard. He will speak and speak and say, be perfect, therefore. As who? Your heavenly Father is perfect. The beautiful thing about fixing your eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of faith, is because you keep on making advance in life. Because if you fix on David, you won't know when you overtake David and you have nowhere to go again. And once you're not moving up, you are coming down. Once you're not moving up, you are going down. So that's why your eyes must be fixed on Jesus. In every circumstance of life, every situation you look, what would Jesus have done here? What is Jesus supposed to be like? So, please, I began, you know, just trying to remind us again, let's get away from foolishness. Let's walk away from tomfoolery. Let's stop getting involved in unnecessary discussions with people who are not going anywhere in life. We are discussing with people that all they have in this life is in the flesh. Their hope is just in this flesh. It's what they will get on this earth that matters to them. If you say, what do you have to show? Listen, I don't have to show anything on this earth. The Bible says that there are men who walked this earth and the earth was not worthy of them. One of the prayers I pray to God is to help me see things from above, not from beneath. I know people don't want me to go there. I'll go there again. I've said something so many times. The pastor, we don't hear now. Some people never hear. That is why I don't want to hear testimony of I gave a seed and it germinated after 1 week. Many of the seeds in life, you won't see the result until Jesus comes back. I hope you're getting my point. You won't. So stop judging things by people's experiences. Judge things by the word of God. Hear what I said? Don't judge things by people's experiences. Judge them by what God said about them. Is that okay? Very important. All right. So, just wanted to remind us again of why sanctification is important. I made a statement, let me repeat it. The full thing that God wants to use your life for will not work until you get to a particular level spiritually. I hope you're getting my point. But this is important we understand it. Why did it take God 25 years to give Isaac to Abraham? Because it took God 25 years to develop the Isaac carrying capacity in Abraham. Do you follow my point? Don't mind me. Stop sowing nonsense seeds. Because the thing you are trying to receive, you don't know whether you can carry it. Go and prepare for the thing. Stop sowing seeds. Because if it comes, it may kill you. You think God doesn't love you more than you love yourself? He does. Many things that he's not giving, you say you can't handle it. What's your issue? You can't handle it. Where am I going? So before I receive some things, I go and pray to God. How do they carry such things? How do they carry such things? You pray until you are transformed to be able to carry such a thing. You think God was joking with Abraham for 25 years? No, he wasn't. He was teaching Abraham. Every experience was necessary for the spiritual development of the man that Abraham was supposed to become. Everybody was, listen, God didn't create you to come and chop life. He created you to come and, which word do I use now? To invoke is not good enough. To open a channel that is good, but there's a portion of God you are supposed to bring into the earth. Do you get my point? Of all the men that ever lived going through scriptures, apart from Jesus Christ and a man like John, okay? I don't think there was ever a man like Abraham. Now, that's arguable. You can sit down and think, all right? But when it comes to the eternal plan of God, you can count top three. If you remove Jesus Christ, Abraham comes top three. Yes. Top three. I think Abraham comes top three, if not number one. Definitely be top three. I don't know who to put elsewhere. Let me explain. And Abraham had to come for Jesus to be able to come. Abraham had to predate Jesus Christ. Abraham had to give God a reason to bring forth his son. If God couldn't find an Abraham to sacrifice an Isaac, there would have been no Mary kind any Jesus. There's what is called just, being righteous. The righteousness of God does not allow him to do some things. He has to invoke a reason each time. He has to invoke a reason each time. People are used to prepare reasons. God makes a plan, a promise. Doesn't mean it will come to pass automatically. He starts working towards the fulfillment of his plan in righteousness. If you fulfill some plans, it will be in unrighteousness. It will be overflowing with righteousness. Listen, God sits down and allows intelligent creatures to judge his works. What do you think? When they say there is none holy like the Lord, it was not just a prophetic declaration. It's what the elders have seen, that there's none like him. I don't know whether you are getting my point. Moses will dare them. Go and bring anybody that has laws as just as this. When they say, holy, holy, holy are you, Lord. They're not reciting what they put in their mouth. They are telling him what they have observed. When the 24 elders will speak, they were not speaking out of a revelation. I mean, like Holy Spirit made them. No, they have looked. God gave them the mind of God to judge things. And they looked up and down and said, indeed, there is none besides him. All his works are done in righteousness. When he wages war in righteousness. One man of God said, if God is killing you, if you understand, you'll be telling him thank you. So that's why, look, Jesus is coming. He had to come in righteousness. And to fulfill what the Bible calls the demonstration of his righteousness. A man like Abraham had to be raised. He had to be pure flesh up and down. He had to be trained. And he had to willingly, by himself, offer up his Isaac. After he did that, he had put a major, block in that building that says, after now, Jesus must come. It might take time, but he will come. Because God cannot be indebted to anybody. God had to pay his debt. I hope you're getting my point. Look. All of us are like that. Each person is raised for something. And that's what I've been saying again and again. Listen, you're all thinking that this is your life. You don't have sense if you are not thinking about how to give your life. Do you follow my point? If what you are, let me tell you how you know spiritually you're confused, you don't even have direction. You know, I preached on something on Saturday, that God cannot lead you more than your heart is really willing to follow. I preached that thing at length. I think it was this Saturday and the time I spoke before then. It's very important you understand it. If your mind is this life, I must chop. Pray from now till tomorrow. When you hear the voice of God, he will lead you to where there's food. So I'm telling that God said I should move from here to here. Ask him, what were you praying about? If it's food, God spoke to you to go and eat. That is why the first thing he does is to train you to know what to put in front in your heart. Do you get my point? It's only when he has trained you to the point where your primary prayer point, your primary focus, what's most important to you, are the same things or the same thing that is important to him. Then that's when he can lead you effectively. You can't make the goal of your life, I must marry and have children. And you say, God is leading you. Why won't he lead you? He can only lead you to where you find the wife and children. That's all. But if you say to him, whether by being single or being married, I must please you. Then you hear real leading. If you say to him, whether by life or by death, I must be pleasing. Then you can be led properly. If you say to him that, Lord, no matter what happens in this life, that book that I read, that you wrote about my life, I read it from Psalm 40. I saw in Psalm 139, Revelation 20 talked about it. That book, dear Lord, I don't know how you are going to do it, but not one jot must go unfulfilled. Then you can be led properly. Then God spoke to me. God cannot speak to you more than your heart has spoken to you before. Your heart speaks first before God can speak. Your heart has confused you. Like I said to him, to the crafty. It's the reason why Balaam hears go when God doesn't want him to go. What am I saying? Listen, this life, what should be your thought? Let me teach you again. Please, you wake up in the morning and say, Lord, I was born for a purpose. I want to fulfill it. Just say that to him every morning. I was born for a purpose. I want to fulfill it. It's only as you are being cleansed in that process, I was saying, is the extent to which you purify yourself that God's work can flow through you. Is that extent? If God has 100 units of destiny for you to fulfill, you've done 20. You will be on step 20 for the rest of life until something is removed. I recommended this message that time. Let me recommend it again. And let he that has an ear, let him hear what Banky is saying to the people that say they listen to him. Go and listen to Progressive Commitment by Derek Prince. There are not many messages you will listen to in this life that will help you like that. Progressive Commitment. Is it Progressive Commitment? I think so. Is that the name of the message? The way you are nodding, like I say, you know, you must have listened to it now. Eh? Yes. Progressive Commitment, right? Yes. No, check you. That thing doesn't sound correct. Check. It's Progressive what? I'm checking here. Okay, yes, Commitment. I've seen it. progressive commitment. That's it. Go and listen to that message. If you have listened to it before, listen to it again. If I'm telling you now, I am going to listen to it again. Even though I can assure you I've listened to maybe 50, okay, conservatively put, maybe about 60 times. You know, there are things you don't even know how to count them. And you'll be playing and playing and playing. When I listen to it once, I've done like 4 times, I just play and play and play and play and play. Yet I'm going to listen to it again. I will start this night. I may fall asleep. But me, I don't care about falling asleep. When you finish falling asleep, you know, after a while, you will fall awake. Do you follow my point? There was one message I was listening to about 2 nights ago. I wasn't sleeping very well. I don't even know the... Okay, I think I know the reason. So I listened to it. It's as if I listened to the first 10 minutes, like 6 times. After 10 minutes, I'll fall asleep. Then I will wake up when it's starting again. It's an auto replay. I wake up when it's starting again. So when I woke up in the morning, I realized I knew a portion of that message well. But I didn't know the whole of it. So this morning, I now played it. I knew where I fell as I was falling asleep. It's as if you got to a point, something will blow me. I was sleeping. The Lord is good. What am I saying? Please, go and listen to Progressive Commitment. In it, the great teacher said, the closer you walk with God, I can't remember the exact words now. He said, the closer you come to God, the less your options. And that God keeps removing things from your life until you have nothing else but Him. And He took the life of Abraham and analyzed it. Left his father's house, but left with his father. Then his father died, then he made progress. Then Lot left him, then he made progress. And then Ishmael left him and he made progress. Finally God collected even Isaac. Using his words, he said, the moment you stop giving things up, you stop making spiritual advancement. That as you move in life, God will be removing things from your life. He will be remove. So everywhere, sounds funny. His ministry, God will remove from them before they can advance. Yes. There are some kind of means they've built. God said, this one. You won't go forward like this. They don't promote you, Promote you out of your destiny. And I'm a regional pastor, a bishop in charge of 50 branches. And God is looking at you and say, see, unless you renounce this title, you are not going anywhere again. That in fact, your life entered pause 8 years ago. I will hear testimonies of people. Ken Hagin said that the Lord told him that when you left your last church, you entered into the first phase of the ministry that I called you to. Phase 1 began when you stopped pastoring. After I had been in ministry for 12 years. So that's when you entered the first phase. And you know, when he wanted to return to the phase, to pastoring, that's when he collapsed and almost died. Let's see what the record said. He said, listen, when God starts removing things from you, it's a sign that you have stopped making progress. If God is still removing bad things from you, you never start. Did you hear what I said? If he's removing lying from your mouth, you have not started. It's when he starts removing good things. Things that are not really bad in themselves. Having a cousin like Lot, a nephew like Lot, not bad. Do you get my point? Ishmael is not a bad person. Where Ishmael had to go? Even Isaac, Abba. But it's only as God is able to smoothen you. You know what he said? He that bears fruit, what does he do? He prunes. Now, let me tell you what pruning means. Pruning. Do you know who knows pruning? Can you spell pruning? P-R-U-N. Okay. Now, a lot of people don't know what they call pruning. Pruning means that you remove the dead leaves from a tree. Have you? See the way they were nodding. It's not true. When you are pruning, you remove living branches. It's not dead ones. The dead ones, they are supposed to be removed, but that's not pruning. Pruning is that you look. You decide that this branch is good, but this thing needs to grow taller. It's using too much nutrient to grow laterally. We need to grow high. You clip the branches. We do that with almond trees. You want them to grow. There's this ring of branches you remove. You remove all of them. It's forced to shoot higher. They start spreading. Say, no, I want this tree to be higher. You take away all those branches. It goes higher still. He said, no, it's good enough. You let it spread out. That's pruning. I remember when this guy came into, I read his book. I think is it Straight from the Gut by Jack Welch or Iacocca by Lee Iacocca, one of the two of them. Businessmen, I mean, one was the head of General Electric, that's Jack Welch. Iacocca was, I think, a Chrysler, one of those people. I can't remember. Please, if I quoted something wrongly, please forgive me. But I think it's Jack Welch. When he took over as the big boss of General Electric, he went pruning. Now, whether what he did was right or wrong, let's not analyze, but I just need to illustrate something. He decided that anywhere that they are not number one or number two is not worth their time. So their business is thriving well. He said, no, the investment for us is not worth, the return. So he cuts it and sells it off. There's a particular company. I won't mention the name because my fact may not be very correct. When I first came to Enugu, they had this beautiful drink that we used to drink. All right, we loved it. One of our brothers worked there, so they used to give them, we're living in the same house, in the same building, so, and he was a single man. So every week, he would bring drinks. Then my brother came to do IT in town. He also went there. So every week, we're just drinking, So we used to drink these, what they call sodas and malts. Then one day they stopped making all those soft drinks. So we're like, those of us, we're not drinking beer. They used to give them everything. If they wanted beer, you'll give you beer as staff. But because we were Christian people now, we don't drink Ogogoro. So not that my neighbor nor my brother was collecting the alcoholic ones. So one of our cocoa drinks, they stopped producing. So we went and said, guys, how far now? They said, listen, daddy, the other issues, but one of the problems they had was that the investment in selling those soft things and the markup on each bottle is not worth it for them. That they need all their capacity to sell the things that make money. And then when they are brewing, because my brother was working there, I said, look, when they are bottling, they bottle for, I forgot how many weeks, day and night are they go. So then they use truck, carry one yellow drink, where you go pay small money for, and the pastors will be drinking and happy. They don't understand. So they took all their trucks back and put it in things that when one truck goes out, they mark up, they knew how it was. They forgot us. They pruned us away from their production. That's what God does. There are things that you are doing because it's taking too much time. Too much time. We're talking about productivity concerning your destiny. We are not saying it is bad. We're just saying it's not good ROI, return of investment. God said, no, it's not good. It's not good. There are many things I wanted to do. I prayed to God about, let me do some of these things, but I didn't get any. I had to leave. Some of them pained me. I tried to see who I could hand them over to. God gave me small skill. I can write stuff. I type fast. I write. I said, I want to write some things. God said, look, thank you, leave that. Write a sermon. And yes, literally, when I wrote, Are We All Equal Before God? One of our sisters that time, she used to carry that tract around everywhere. She would go and meet somebody, maybe her classmate or a family friend, or somebody she met out of nowhere, maybe just sitting somewhere. Say, hello. Good afternoon, sir. I want to ask you a question. Say what? Are we all equal before God? I say, yes, ke. Yes, ke. We're all equal before God. You sure? You really think so? The person says, yes, we're all human, we're all children of God. It's okay. Please, take this, read. I'll be back. And she'll go away. If it's a classmate, she'll catch you later. Have you finished that thing I gave you? If you're a stranger, she'll probably give you like 30 minutes. Come back and say, have you finished? She's not giving you, she's collecting it back. So what do you think? The person like, actually. Then she starts telling you why some people are important and others are not. And how each person can go up and how you should give your life to Christ. That's how she used to do our evangelism. So God says, look, what do you want to write, Bank? That will be better than that one. If you write a PhD thesis on how to make electricity from coal, don't worry, I have 50 other people that will do it. This one, I remember one of my friends once, I was asking counsel about ministry. People had persuaded me, tried to argue with me and explain why I should change the pattern of what I do as a teacher of the word, running Kingdom World Ministries. At a point in time, I began to now, not as if I was thinking about it seriously. Okay? It's more like I didn't want to be a stubborn person. Everybody's giving you counsel. You're so stubborn. You're not listening. So I went to their house in Lagos. I just said, hey, Topsy, please, I want to ask you something. And I told him the counsel I've been getting. I wanted to hear his opinion. And he just said something. And that was all. When his car was just getting to his house, about to come down, was driving. After I heard everything I had to say, he said, what they have told you is good. He said, there's only one problem. Everything they are telling you to do, many people are doing them already. So this one you are doing, how many people do you know that's doing it? And it hit me. And this time I got a testimony. It was even an apostle that came and gave me the gist. One of his friends told him about one pastor in town who was doing exactly what I was doing, but before me. And they gave him counsel like the people were giving me. And they listened to their counsel and his ministry collapsed. He happened to have had the same days of meeting that are exactly the same. But God allowed me to hear that testimony after my friend had given me counsel. And I stuck with what I believe was the Holy Spirit. I'm talking about pruning. Pruning is not about bad things. Pruning is when God removes good things because he says they are not good enough. Let me tell you, young ladies. When I used to say, people would be looking at me and say, people have used it to come and fight me before. That Pastor Banky said, men are not supposed to be nice. They were okay. Did I ever preach that to you? When you had no beard, did I preach it? Now that you've grown beard, did I preach it? People just take what you are saying, twist it, and go into the world and cause confusion. I never said so. I just say, young women, don't stop looking for nice guys to marry. Nice men are not important. I remember when our current vice president, that time he was not a vice presidential candidate, he was just an APC member, former governor of Borno. They were interviewing him towards APC primaries. He said, look, we don't have any other candidate. Only Asiwaju Bola Tinubu. He said, we have nobody else. They said, what about the current, the then vice president, Professor Yemi Osinbajo? He said, oh, Professor Yemi Osinbajo. He's a nice man. He's a very good man. He said, but you see, nice men, they shouldn't be president. They're supposed to be express, you know, selling ice cream, popcorn, and ogbologbo. We said, this man, your mouth is bad. He had to issue an apology to the vice president. He had to. He said, oh, God, sorry, that's not what I meant. He said, the man is nice. I don't want to start talking politics, but that's what he said. Now, I want to just say my own too. Young women, it's not nice men we are looking for. They are not what the return on investment with your life. It's men who fear God. Who are walking according to purpose. Who will say to you, okay, come, see where the Lord is going. Let's go there. He said, but if I'm going there, now this is my fine shoes, the heel will break. He says, that's so, they bring the shoe. He brings the heel for you. And say, see, this is my fine Versace shoe. If I used to go on the, this road, he said, we should go now. It might, the heel might break. Say, is that so? He takes the heel and chops it off. He said, now wait, now we don't have to worry about whether it will break or not. It has broken. How will you do that? Okay, the Lord is moving fast. With this stiletto, we won't go far. That's what I mean. He will not be telling me that if Pastor Banks said that men should not be nice. I said, niceness is not priority. Niceness is overrated. Purpose is one, number one. Fear of God, number one. These are things that is in front. I was joking with my wife a few days ago. My wife looked back and said, Kai, that is like I took a big risk marrying you. She didn't use those words, but she was just looking up. Because, God did something strong for her. That is like, when she first met me, she was like, I don't know why she just felt that she married this guy. But me, I didn't. I was just being normal. I wasn't trying to be anything. I wasn't trying to be hard. I was just being normal. I was living in Lagos. She was living in Benin. So just in the course of gist,
of course, the only one I come to Benin.
In the course of gist, talked about Lagos, beach. I told her one day, why do people go to this beach? Are they that jobless? Yeah. I'm like, what are you looking for? I was just talking normally. And the girl looked like, what? Now, listen, I was just talking, and really, know the truth. That's exactly what I used to do. One day, a friend of mine, he came. He said, Banky, come. You're always in this place. Let's go somewhere. It was holiday. I can't remember which of the days. Maybe Christmas time or one of those big holidays. This guy put me inside his car by force. Say, let's go out. We now drove all the way. Now, the funny part is, as we were going, the last thing I took was my Bible. I held my Bible. Say, let's go. So after a while, he said I should drive. So I decided to drive. Now, I agreed to drive. I was driving. Why? He wanted to be gisting with the woman that was with him so that I'll be driving. Stupid boy. But anyway, he did that. We got, so after a while, he said, I should turn somewhere. Tell me, we got to one beach. I said, when I enter, I park. We came out, and true, we're like now four in the car. So him and the lady was with him, his cousin and me. So we now see beach in front of us, see water, you know, waves. I think it was by that grey side or something. So all of them, they went this way. Everyone just scattered different directions. I looked to the left and the right. I looked for a shade, sat down, put out my Bible, and read it till they came back. And when they came back, I folded my... I remember that Bible. That's Oxblood Bible. I folded it, entered the car, and we drove back. So that beach didn't come to me. My body went there. My spirit didn't follow. That was what my... I'm gisting you like this. I was gisting my... I think she would find it funny. The kid didn't find it funny. Which kind of crazy human being is this one? That just, what? How can... She had a very good friend who was her chief bridesmaid. Oh, got married. Go and tell the guy, the lady, say, Kana, wow. This bro, Banky, I don't understand him. But she said, one day, I came to town. I was at my friend's house when she came there. So, my friend and I were now playing Kirk Franklin. You know? For those of you who think the gospel music has gone too far, who think we have got too radical with our message, you know, you ain't heard nothing yet. If you don't know, you know, make me wanna. So my friend and I began to dance. Stomp. My brother, can't you see? I've got the victory. Stomp. Stomp. She was looking at us. Then she ran to go and tell her friend. He's dancing stomp. He's dancing stomp. He said that was the hope. I said, okay, I wasn't that bad. What do you mean? Of course, she found that later now. Look, she found that later. This guy. Oh, the most romantic human beings. That's in the black skin. I'm telling you. I told her, look, when she had, I think it was Akinlu that time, she was in hospital that just delivered. I was not in town. So I was sending message, after I killed one of the children, I wasn't there. So the phone, a message dropped on her phone. So her mother picked it. Her mother was with her. And I said, you have a message. Maybe she was breastfeeding, her hand was busy, stuff like that. So just said, is it my husband? If it's my husband, don't open it. I'm not like, waiting. It's a mommy, please. You don't want to see things you're not supposed to see. Don't open it. Because, forget preaching time. Oh, finish preaching. There's a time for everything. But where I'm going with the whole thing, look, she misjudged me, all right? She misjudged me. Poverty can be a problem sometimes. You know, when you don't have money, some things you don't do, now it's because you can't afford them. So, do you get my point? You just get up from Idiaraba going to what beach? Do you know the transport cost from Idiaraba to the beach? No. Sometimes you have to know that some of us, we're not bad, just that we couldn't afford something. So we now join with our spirituality. All of them, we don't even know which one was the issue. We don't even know which one was the problem. Do you get what I'm saying? My wife looks back now, she honestly, after a few years, she couldn't believe the kind of person I turned out really to be. that is like, I mean, nice guy. I mean, very nice guy. No. No, I still have some of those firm principles. I still have some of those, some crazy. But I'm a nice guy. Do you understand? Because being nice sometimes can be expensive. So I can afford to be nice now. But where I'm going with the whole thing is that I told her, we were talking about this a few days ago. I said, do you know you were willing to sacrifice this nice romantic life? And God noticed it. And God probably shielded you from my soft side to see whether you'll be willing to make that, you know, sacrifice. And when he saw you were willing to make that sacrifice, and I said, okay, even if I wasn't nice, God said, I will make you nice for her sake. Thank you. Do you follow my point? What God just wants from us is to have what? The right priorities. The right values. Do you follow me? The right priorities. The right priorities. You know, see, God doesn't have any problem with all things being added to us. It doesn't have. Sometimes I pray some funny prayer points. And I tell God, you know, this is not a serious matter. But if you do it for me, I will like it. Yeah. But really, what I want to say is that God has been very good to me. Yeah, he's been very good. God has been very, very good. God has been very good. Some of the things that, look, God has been good. Let me just summarize it like that. But first of all, you just check, look, oh girl, oh boy, what are the most important things in life? That's what God doesn't like, for you to make the things that are not important priority in your life. He doesn't like that thing. If God doesn't give you constant power, constant this thing, he will. You know, God, like, what is wrong with you? Okay, I won't give you. Go and look for it yourself. I will let you find it. After 5 years, I switch it off. Destiny, you know, go collect. The small, small things you learn, you won't see. What am I trying to say? Listen, let's get it clear. God wants to birth and bring things into the earth through us. And the extent to which it can go is decided by the extent to which we accept to sanctify ourselves. And what is sanctification? Is removing things that are not, we've talked about removing the dirty things, cleansing, but now pruning is part of it. You hear what I said? Pruning. Pruning. Pruning is part of it. It's not, we're not saying that some of these things are always bad. But God just says that, look, they are not important in your life. They're not. Go for the things that are more important, the things that are in line with destiny, the things that are above only. And don't worry about the earthly things. Don't worry about them. So remember, that is what we're talking about. How do we go about it? We've been going about that again and again. And what I want to talk about today, again, I will try not to keep us for too long. I think for the rest of the time that I have, we'll be able to finish it. What I want to share with us briefly today, again, is in line with what we were saying last time. Remember last time I was talking about the fact that you have to what? Mount the mountain of what? Ebal. There were two mountains, Mount Gerizim, and what's the other one? Mount Ebal. One is a mountain of blessing, and one is a mountain of what? Cursing. And that if you are saying things about your life that people think are curses, remember, it's not as if God wanted to curse the people. God just wanted to do what? Push them away from the curses by warning them about it. I hope you're getting my point. It's not as if God desires to curse anybody. What God always wanted was for people to become like him. But he always loved to give warnings that if you go this way, you will not fulfill the reason why you have life. And that you have to walk with God by reminding yourself of those things. That's what we mean. I give an example. He said, the one that commits adultery with a woman is not wise. You tell yourself that. You read my book, Worship and Sex Control, read it. And you see things I explain inside there. I use David as an example. Tell yourself, may I not be like David? Father God, let the spirit of Amnon not come into my house. Let the spirit of Absalom not come into my house. You declare those things by telling yourself, listen, if I go the way of David, they will come. It's not just I rebuke the spirit of Absalom, the spirit of Amnon. No. You first have to rebuke the spirit of bad eyes, the spirit that sees Bathsheba. Every Bathsheba in my life, I reject you in the name of Jesus. That's how you start. You don't just go to the fruit. What about the root? Sin has roots. Go and check it. When he talked about the three levels of seed, the first set of seeds, the birds of the air came, those ones didn't have any understanding. The second one, shallow earth, no depth. As soon as it began to spring up, persecution came by reason of the word, and they withered. But the last one, the understanding was there. They have depths of earth. So they were able to withstand persecution. But what was the thing that killed them? You can read that in, of course, Mark chapter 4, Matthew chapter 8, they are there. What were the things that killed this particular plant so they couldn't bring fruit to maturity? He said it was because of what? Of the thorns that grew up and choked. Now, what does that tell you? Was the thorn there at the beginning? No. What was the issue? Seed. As the wheat was growing, the bad ones were also growing. And when they were supposed to reach maturity, those ones manifested their thorns. Please, there's something I want to say. I don't know whether I'll have time to cheat about it later. I've talked about it before, but I feel like I'm emphasizing it. In this life, let the word of God uproot your thorns. Now, see, let me explain. I call it separating your light from your darkness. You have to sit down, itemize. No, see. You have to pray to God to open your eyes so that you will show you the things that are hidden seeds in your heart that are bad. I told you before, a man like Simon the Sorcerer, he thought he had given his life to Christ. But something deep inside him sprang up one day. And Peter said, you see, you are seeing the gall of what? Bitterness. He didn't know it was still there. Now, did you notice something? The man didn't come bitter. He came asking for what? Power. And he was willing to pay for the power. And Peter said, you see the problem? The gall of what? Bitterness. I put everything together. I said, no. The man had a point to prove. I suspect to the people in his family that I'm not a failure. And that was what was pushing him. You have to pray, say, God, any seed of bitterness that is inside my heart, any root of bitterness, there are things that are hidden. You don't know the idea. That's like people, that's how people make wrong choices. You know whether they know how to hear God, they don't know how to hear God. It's the anger. Sometimes it's not even that kind of anger and bitterness. It's a kind of ambition. You see, have you noticed that people go to church, everybody, they say, hey, how can King Kardashian dress like this? He doesn't even know how to dress. Then when they give the same girl money, watch her dress. When they let the same girl release her album one day, they say, now she's going for gala something, something, something. When you see the dress, that, sis, come. You know why? Truly inside her heart, she admired those girls. Deep inside, she admired those people. But she couldn't express it, but the thing was there. Then the opportunity was given to her to manifest. You know what she did? She manifested. That's how you need to pray, God, whatever be the hidden thing in my heart, please now beg, I beg you. There are many things. There's just, you need to deliver. God, oh God, Holy Spirit will put it and show you. Look at it here. Now, you kill it by yourself. How do you kill it? With his word. How do you kill it? With his word. I remember one woman said something once. She said when she was young, her mother told her that she's the only one that's not fine of her children. Yeah. And she never forgot. Did you hear what I said? Now, please, mother, parents, fathers and mother, watch your mouth. There's something you don't say. Don't ever say such a thing. Her own mother said that of all her children, I only this one not fine. And the girl heard it. And they grew with her. No, she said it in the open. Yes, she's the one that said it. And the thing grew with her. Affected her. Yeah, the mother just said it when she was small. Stuck in the girl's head. There are many things that are in people's hearts. You need to get them out. They're affecting how you make choices. They're affecting, people don't understand. They're affecting the things you believe and things you can't believe. See, it's a whole sin that this one should be born blind. Let's not look for who caused the trouble. Let the work of God be done in him. I must walk the walk of him that sent me while it is day. Just carry that walk and let it cleanse your heart. We're not here to be blaming anybody. I just want parents to know there are things you don't say. Towards your children, you must have positive words. Now, nothing wrong with correcting people. You must correct your children. You must discipline them. But you must never plant any negative word in their hearts. It's an important thing everybody has to do in life. Because some of these things, is why people don't... Paul said, don't let anybody defraud you by making you believe what is wrong. People can defraud you of your destiny by planting wrong thoughts and wrong practices as a result in your heart. You have a job to, you know, what they call the rake. You have to use the spirit as a rake to rake your life, shake it, sieve it, and say, Lord, what is the thing that is inside me? You know, some people, all the decisions, can preach from now to tomorrow. They can never risk failing in life. Failing in life. They can never risk it. Why? I don't know why. You know? Maybe somebody has told them they can never do well. Like Simon the Sorcerer. Somebody that has gone to get power. Some of them he had never used. He had never touched them. No, really. He now gave his life to Christ. Philip destroyed all of that. Took it away from him. You think he was happy with that? He now became a normal person. Nobody was talking about him again. The day he had the opportunity to buy power back, he looked for all the money necessary. He said, I know what we paid before we got those powers we did not even use. So he gave this one to Peter and said, John, we'll take this one. You guys just let me have that power. He didn't know who he was dealing with. It was his opportunity for deliverance. But you don't have to wait for Peter to threaten you with fire and brimstone. You can get on your knees and say, God, search me, O Lord, and know my heart. Try me and know what? My anxious thoughts. It's very important. See if there is any hurtful thing in me. That prayer is crucial. We'll pray it today. Let me just finish my message. What I wanted to teach today, let me see how much of it I can do, is what I call meditations of purpose. Last time I talked about the fact that we have to mount. I didn't want to say curse yourself. It's not the only thing I'm, you know, doing bad thing. So let's just say Mount Ebal. Climb Mount Ebal and describe those negative things so as to push yourself away from them. But what I want to remind us of again today is that we talked about prayer again and again. And this is our school of prayer. I feel like reminding us, please, before we go, that prayer is not only when you sit down that I want to pray. It's not only that. Prayer is every time. When the Bible says pray without ceasing, it means that you should pray constantly at every time. Say men ought always to pray and not faint, not get tired. That means they have to pray all the time. So it's not every time you can be going on the road with your hands raised up and your eyes up. Sometimes you have to have your hands on the steering and your eyes on the road. But you still pray. Praying can go with eating. Do you follow my point? That is, you are eating like the one say, let me finish eating, then I pray. No. As you are eating, you can be talking to the Lord. Prayer can be in the bathroom. Prayer can be on the toilet seat. Prayer can be when you are jogging. Prayer can be in church. It can be at the wedding reception, and you are the bride, or you are the groom. Prayer can be when you are celebrating. I hope you're getting my point. Yes, thank God for dedicated times of prayer. Those ones should actually go with study of the word. But prayer must be made into habits. So we're teaching about what I call aids to prayer. Because I redefine, and that's a biblical definition. We define prayer as a communication between you and God. You're talking to the Lord. You are offering up your petitions, your thanksgivings, and stuff like that to Him. But things, there are other things you do that, strictly speaking, do not constitute prayer, but they are valid and necessary spiritual activities. And one of them we said is what? Meditation. Meditation, what's meditation? Now, we're back to it. You are shaping your life. You are reprogramming your soul. You know now, what's the in thing in technology world now? Artificial intelligence. Now, what's artificial intelligence? It's called machine learning. That you leave the computer, give it a lot of information to make sense of the information and form a path of action from a mass of information. That is, the computer now can program itself. That's what they are doing. That's what they call artificial intelligence. I watched the guy in charge, one guy and one lady in Google, and they're being interviewed. And they asked some questions and said none of these things was the computer taught to say. All the days, they just fed the computer with a lot of information. And the computer had been programmed to learn from the information and come out with an output. Now, where I'm going is that in the same manner, you must learn to program yourself with the Word of God. You write your own codes. You take scriptures and program your soul. You will tell your body, this is how to behave. And James said, that's why God gave you what? A tongue, a mouth. You use it to control. He says, like what? The steering, the rudder of a great ship. Small, but it can tell a massive ship which direction to go. Sometimes if you ever, you know, I like watching things like that, you know, videos on maybe the Boeing 777 or the A380. Massive, massive crafts. And the steering is still not bigger than my castle. It's not even completely round, Zef. Just one thing, and the pilot pull this like this, push this like this. That massive thing will turn and get up. He didn't say, hey, Zubi, hey, come and help me carry my plane. Hey, Zubi, hey, all of us carry the plane. No. The engine is already there. The spirit is already there. It's just you now. Take the rudder and direct your life. And that's what meditation is about. And what am I talking about today? I call it meditations of purpose. Meditations of purpose. Let me say this again, please. Use your mouth to control your life. Rebuke yourself. You know, open your mouth and let God give you insight concerning what to say to you. You can tell yourself, Sebanke, why are you behaving like your head is not correct? Is this what you are supposed to do with this kind of insight that you have? Did the Bible not say this, 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 and this, and that? Come on, live up to the expectation that God has of you as a child of God. You're talking to yourself. You are rebuking yourself. These are important things you should do. There are a few scriptures we are going to use today. Because you see, these days, a lot of people walk out of purpose for certain different reasons. I'm not going to talk about it. But I just want to bring out a few scriptures that you will use to instruct yourself. Because you know what? Life, you know what they call enemy? I think we discussed it the other day. Is it Saturday? Today's what? Tuesday. Yes, on Saturday I talked about it. That you have an enemy that determined that you will not do the purpose of God. It was Saturday I talked about it. Satan is there. He's deliberate about it. It's not like, you are not an accidental encounter for him. You woke up in the morning, said this cheese room girl, what do I do? Ask Monday, that one say yes. Basketball, that one say yes. She has the destiny, doesn't she? They say, you know now. She mustn't fulfill it. She said, we agree. What shall we do? And they plot it. Satan doesn't stumble into you by chance. He plotted. These are her weak points. So let's strengthen our effort in that area. Please find your weak point and never make excuses for your weak points. Strengthen your spirit in that area. Paul called the sin that does easily beset. It trips you over. Go and strengthen yourself in that area. Yeah, you must. Why? You must go and strengthen yourself in that area. Because Satan is taking advantage of that very area. You know, that's one problem I have. Hot temper. Just know that's what will destroy. See, you don't get my point. That is where your problem will come in this life. So what do you do? Now that you know, if everybody is using 10 doses of scripture to handle their temper, you use 2,000. I told the story again and again. Let me not go over it again. Of Ben Carson. I hope you're getting my point. I told that story. So let me not go over it again. God revealed to him through an action he took that this temper will kill you and your destiny. And he ran to go and pray until God removed it from him. That thing that Ben Carson was talking about, I've seen it before. One man, two of them, they quarrel. He didn't know when they just carried both. I was talking to the lawyer, the state prosecutor handling the case. Because something made us go, there's an Ogun state there. Came from Lagos, my chief. The lady described a case he's handling. Two of them quarreled, you know, vulcanizer and mechanic. You know the way it is. Yeah, you go, okay, don't know why. So the spirit came upon this guy. He just took a bottle, broke it, and just lashed out at the mechanic. Except that the bottle hit that guy in the neck. Severed a serious vessel. And the man fell down there, bled and died. Now he's in jail sober. Except that they are prosecuting him for murder. Because we had another case we're handling with my chief. We had to go and see the prosecutor. And she was telling us the story. I'm like, I didn't forget. Like what? Said they had separated the fight. It was already going. A spirit just says, she bottle. The young organizer was now in jail, sober. Even the prosecutor was not feeling sorry for his sobriety. The guy was so sober. Ben Carson said, this will happen to me. But he solved it. He went to pray. And please, you know what John said? If you see any friend or brother of yours that has a problem that will soon end his destiny, pray for him. Pray for him well. They arrange people to go and talk to him. And you, when they come to talk to you, please now I beg you, listen. Because if you don't, once they go away, the Bible says they shouldn't pray for you again. Meditations of purpose. So I was talking about Satan. He's deliberate. He wants to drive you away. We've talked about the reason why he has to. For his own safety. For his own prolongation of the days of his prosperity. He needs it. But you won't cooperate with him. You're not his agent. So life tries every time to push you away. Satan, that's what he's doing. You have to answer back with meditations of purpose. So what we're talking about today is persuading yourself to walk in purpose by speaking to yourself all the time. Open to the book of John chapter 12. Let's read from there. John chapter 12. Where I want is one verse, but I already marked that I'll read about 14 verses, so let me read from verse 20. Now there were some Greeks among those who were going up to worship at the feast. These are proselytes. This came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida of Galilee, and began to ask him, saying, sir, we wish to see Jesus. They had heard about Jesus back home. Philip came and told Andrew. Andrew and Philip came and told Jesus. And Jesus took it as a sign. If you read verse 23. And Jesus answered them, saying, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. You know what he called glorified? That was his own way of describing crucified. Truly I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. Now, for just one to know, just for completeness sake. It was a sign. I don't know how God gave that to him, but Jesus knew that by the time the Greeks start seeking you, then the gospel has saturated or has stayed long enough in Jerusalem. It has to move to the other, to the Gentiles. And he couldn't move to the Gentiles while he was alive. So he didn't minister deliberately to the Syrophoenician woman. And he explained to her why. She had to take her daughter's healing by force. So, when he saw that, he knew that the time had come. When the Greeks were now coming, he knew it was time for the Gentiles to be brought in. So he knew it is now time for the Son of Man to be glorified. So he said, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. He who loves his life loses it. And he who hates his life in this world will keep it to eternal life. That is, I don't need to hold on to... Now, listen. Can you see what is going on here? Jesus was not teaching. He was talking to himself. Please, read it though. I didn't invent it. Read it. The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. He who loves his life loses it. He was talking to himself. He who hates his life in this world will keep it to eternal life. He now said, if anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. You see where I'm going when I said he was talking to himself. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. Verse 27. Now my soul... Now, you know I told you he was talking to himself. It's just that his meditations were, they were overflowing. And his disciples were listening. So you add comments for them. But he was actually talking to himself. Why did I say so? Look at the next verse. He said, now my soul has become troubled. What shall I say? Shall I say, Father, save me from this hour? He said, but for this purpose, I came to this hour. Let's just finish reading what I want to read. He now said, Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came out of heaven. The voice said, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. So the crowd of people who stood by and heard it were saying that it had thundered. That's how God sounds. Others were saying an angel has spoken to him. And Jesus answered and said, "This voice has not come for my sake, but for your sakes. Now judgment is upon this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. And I, if I'm lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself." Now, why did I read this? Let's just read verse 33. And he was saying this to indicate the kind of death by which he was to die. Now, why did I read all of this? To let you know that the primary issue here is that Jesus was talking to himself. Yes, there was an overflowing of instruction to his disciples. But look at the central thing. He said, "Now my soul has become troubled." Satan was pushing the vision of the cross in his face and how it will be painful. Satan was letting him know. He said, "Hey, it's not going to be easy." But he said, "But if the grain of wheat does not die, it will abide alone." Do you get my point? He was persuading himself. He said, "Okay, what do you want me to say? Father, save me from this hour." Is that what I should say? He said, "But for this purpose, I came to this hour." You know, there's a testimony I give you occasionally in that area. When I first came to town, I'm a pathologist, for those who do not know. I had a small private practice. All right? I wasn't doing badly. Then one day I went home, traveled in December. So my mother now said to me, "How's your private practice doing?" I said, "Oh, that one, I've shut it down." She was like, "Why?" I said, "Between my regular work and the ministry that I run, I said, it takes too much. These things take too much of my time. So I don't have enough time to give to the practice." I said, "My ministry needs a lot of time. Kingdom was still young those days." I said, "It needs a lot of time." Then I did a lot of work, you see, I did. I did the messages myself. I do this. I send to radios. I used to be the one to drive to Cosmo FM, all right, to give them messages, you know, did a lot of the things myself. I said, "So I don't have time." She now said, "Hey, but the ministry is not paying you money," which was not a lie. The ministry literally was not paying me. And how can ministry pay me when it was collecting everything? Ministry was collecting. You're talking about pay. It was collecting. She said, "But the ministry is not paying you." I still remember I was lying on the bed, you know, doing something. My mom was just standing there. I mean, sitting. And so I just said to her, I switched to English. I said, "So what shall we say? Shall I say, Father, deliver me from this hour?" I didn't use those words, but very similar. I said, "What shall we say then? Will we say," and these are the exact words I used. I said, "Will we say, because it is not pain, we will not do the reason why God gave us life?" I said to my mother, "This is the reason why God allowed you to conceive me and I did not die at birth." She said, "Okay." I said, "But don't use that one of, he's not giving you money. I didn't come to Enugu to look for money. This is the reason why we came to town. Let's do it and forget all these other distractions." Now, where I'm going is this. You talk to yourself concerning purpose. Because in this life, people, they walk away from purpose all the time. And I found out that there was something, Reverend Yinka that said the other day. He said, "If you don't fight over these things, you eventually do them." I don't know whether you heard what I said. Say you turn them to fight. You will turn this thing to fight. You know what they call quarrel? Who are you quarreling with? Whoever is necessary for you to quarrel with. He said, "If you don't fight over this, you eventually do them." When life starts telling you, you see, there are times you just tell yourself. So, but if it is, "I must drive car," okay, let's get it clear now. I don't want to drive. If driving will remove 1% of the reason God gave me life, I won't drive. After, what else do they use to threaten people? Is it not to build a house, to drive a car? And please, nobody should tell you that Nigeria is not safe. That one annoys me. You know why? It's false. I say, got a message today. A father mourning over his doctored son that a drunken driver killed in America. Yes. I said, this life is not a crazy place. The guy's a doctor. Doing good though. Okay. Then he was going on the road. One drunken driver just slammed the guy and killed him. Look, I have to see. Remove this gossip from your head. I said, you and God, you have negotiation. There's no negotiation. I've been first. I entered into a covenant with God. I hope you know that it has no meaning. Please, I hope you know it has no meaning. How many of you have a covenant with God that you started? Drop it now. What did I say? You don't seem like you believe it. What did I say? When you gave your life to Christ, you entered into the only covenant available. And you know that covenant? Covenant is died to self. I belong to Jesus alone. That's what the covenant is. There's nothing like, God, I will do this for you, do this for me. Please, I hope, is anybody still doing that thing? Joe? Anybody still doing like that kind of nonsense? People still do that? God, I do this for you, do it for me. I hope you know that is madness. Look, if you are like that, see, you be angry with me, but you will be frustrated because God will not do anything. Leave that. If you want something big, what did I say? If you want something from God, what do? You beg. Just say, Lord, my father is rich now. That's a better attitude. That is, God, you are my father now. You have money now. Your song with the, is a better attitude. God will be walking like you are not normal. Say, why? Say, my father is rich. These are the attitudes you have. Don't say, I've done for God, he will do for me. That is how to get into trouble. Look, I keep on giving this testimony. One of our brothers, he said one day, told God, dress me up for this Christmas. Christmas was coming. And he said, God, dress me up now. See, that's what he told God. And he just woke up. And God actually said to him, of course, you won't know it's God until later. Call this man, tell him you want to buy that car. And that's how he got a car. For 1/3 of the price that people were buying the same vehicle. God just said, call this man, tell him you want to buy this car. And really, that Christmas, he shined his car very well and drove smiling. I told God just one thing. Buy me cloth for this Christmas. And God bought him a car for the Christmas. Seriously. Somebody I know very well. This covenant you enter with God is the reason why you have been walking in confusion. God now looks like he doesn't know what he's doing. He has checking that. God, are they remitting this my money regularly? You're not looking at your pastor with suspicion. Yeah, because what God is supposed to have done, he hasn't done it. So you now have to go and get God. I have a question. Please, can I bring an accountant? Let him settle between us. So that I know whether it's my pastor that's not remitting. Yes, I have to audit God now because he's not performing. Look, when we see comedians on this earth, angels say, look, the real comedians are in church. Look, leave that thing. Don't do that. Don't even try it. Let me go back to my message. Jesus said, what should I say? Father, would I say deliver me from this hour? He said, no. For this cause, I survived to this hour. For this cause, Herod tried to kill me, killed 2 million children, and didn't get me. I hope you're getting my point. That's it. For this cause, I came to this hour. So I can, now, where am I going? You need to talk to yourself. Fight over it. Fight. So, okay, is it motor? I will not drive. That's not why I was born. I still remember very well. My mother too. Mothers are wonderful people. Now, listen. I love my mother. She should be one of the top intercessors in my life. That I know. So I know. If I sometimes I look and say, look, she has a calling to pray for me. And she does it all the time. But mothers are mothers. Even Mother Mary fell for this thing. Holy Mother. She fell for it. They came and said, your son, his cousin, has opened a new carpentry shop. That one too is preaching, But not say he shouldn't preach. Your own now, your son, see what he has done. He has abandoned the carpentry business of the family. And he's saying strange things. Say, I and my father are one. Who preaches like that? today and tomorrow, I perform miracles and do cures. On the third day, I reach my goal. Which goal? Call your son to order. And so they dragged Mary, go meet Jesus. Only when they got there, there was no space. So they called the guy at the door. He said, Uche, this is... They said, this is his mother. He said, okay, is that Pastor Frank's mother? They said, yes. Now Uche called Jonathan. Mary is outside here. Mother Mary, Holy Mother is here. Jonathan said, call the people on the left and on the right, which is James and John that were practicing. They called those ones. Sir, family should do. What is it? Your mother and your brothers, the family elders, they're out there waiting for you. Jesus said, so like I was saying, who is my mother? Who's my brother? Anyone that's sitting down in this congregation, hearing my word, the same is my mother, the same is my brother, all my cousins are here. So that anyone who's not hearing me, am I related to the person? They say, no. May you look at everybody and say, see, as not do me. That disgrace, mother's fault for it. It's not their fault. So my mother said to me that day, he said, he doesn't call me Banky, but let me just say Banky. He said, Banky. He said, your mates are living in their own houses now. Do you know, I still remember, I didn't think. You know, there are times you answer by the Spirit. The Spirit possessed me. I asked her straight. I said, how many of them are teaching the word of God on radio? Now, our program at that time was called The Way of Success. I just turned to my mother. I said, how many of them are teaching the way of success? And I said to her, those who are called to go and build houses should please be building. The primary thing I was called to do is what I'm doing. She said, okay, it's true, Sha, it's true. It had better be true. Mary, it had better be true. Because this Jesus Christ is not leaving that place to attend to nonsense. So, listen, I've told you, you cannot leave the reason why God gave you life till later. When you have settled every other thing. What am I talking about? It's called meditations of what? Purpose. You must talk to, you have to fight it out with life. Take a scripture like this. That John chapter 12. He said, now my soul has become troubled. They've told me there is no future for me here. They've told me that this country has no future for people like me. They've told me this and this and that. So what should I say? Father, help me relocate. What should I say? Father, take me somewhere else. What should I say? Father, wherever I'm supposed to be, please help me to be there. Lord, if this is where I'm supposed to be, help me stay there. If I'm supposed to go somewhere else, Lord, only you take me there. And if I perish, let me perish. These are things you say to yourself. You know, the one reason why we disobey God is that we keep quiet too much. Satan does all the talking. Look, it's who talks the most that will eventually win the deal. Meditation of purpose. Let's read together. I don't want to take too much time, more time, and I don't want to come back to this. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 16. Just to give us an idea. Meditations of purpose. You must meditate all the time and talk to yourself in these things. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 16. If you are there. I want to read it. Let me read it. Maybe New Living Translation. I want something that's simpler. Let me find a version I will read. Just to make it dramatic. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 16. Okay. I like Good News Translation. Now listen to this. I have no right to boast just because I preach the gospel. Now, Paul was talking about something else. We don't want to talk about that at all. But where I want to go is the last phrase or clause in that statement. Is I have no right to boast just because I preach the gospel. After all, I'm under orders to do so. And how terrible it will be for me if I did not preach the gospel. That's what I want. He said, woe is me if I don't preach the gospel. You know, I talked about you must climb Mount Ebal. You must say to yourself, woe is me if I don't do the will of God for my life. Don't leave Satan and the world alone to be talking to you. Sometimes sit yourself down and sit your father down, sit your mother down and tell them that you be nice about it too. Don't dishonor your father and your mother. You be nice. You say check them. That's how Peter did it. Did the elders. Judge yourself. Should I follow your desire for my life or the predetermined purpose of God? I may be wrong, but at least I've thought about it and prayed about it. All the advice you are giving me is how to preserve my life. Jesus said, if I try that, I will lose that life. Like the man that told you, leave us to die. Sometimes you have to tell people, I give God praise. My mother has never argued against these things. I've given you examples against examples. One day, many years ago, everybody was leaving the country. I go home. We were talking about it. I had not even married my wife. My mother said, you said, wouldn't you consider going? I said, Archbishop Edahosa said, a lizard in Nigeria will not become an alligator in America. Say, you have come. I said, yes, mommy, I have come. I answered back. I told my mother, I said, Archbishop Benson Edahosa said, a lizard in Nigeria will not become an alligator in America. Oh, my mother don't hear from my handle. There is no accusation Satan has tried to use her to bring that I have not answered with the word of God. There's none. She gave up on me long ago. Oh, she did. For information, she respects my anointing. One day my mother bent and said, lay your hands on me so that I will live long. I'm not kidding. Yes. She calls me pastor now. Everybody in my house calls me pastor. My sister fell sick the other day. She called me, was explaining. He said, I only called you so you can pray. I'm a doctor, so she's asking for medical, and I do give medical counsel a lot of times. But that he said, I just need you to pray. I said, okay, put your hands on your head. Put this phone where you can hear me pray. See, you have to show people that you know where you are going. Otherwise, they will find direction for you. Paul said, woe is me if I don't preach the gospel. That's what he said. Woe betide me. That's what he was saying. He said, problems will come upon me. Told my wife once. Somebody told me that, now that I've reached the peak of my career, I'm now a professor. I cannot face the ministry. What advice do you have for me? I was looking at the guy. What did you just say? So I went home and told my wife, please, let me give you widowhood talk. I said, if you ever hear me say this and you don't correct me, you'll soon be a widow. So please, when I say this, run for prayer. You know who to call. That I will leave the reason why God gave us life until we have achieved something else. No. Jesus doesn't like to be treated like, okay, I'm not ready for you. Jesus said, I don't tire for you. Paul said it like this, verse 16. He said, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. These are things, I'm talking about meditations of purpose. You sit down and tell yourself these things. Psalm 137, quickly open to it. Psalm 137. In fact, because of time, I want all of us to read these things together. Are you there? We're going to read verse 5 and verse 6. Want to let's go? If I forget you, O Jerusalem, may my right hand forget her skill. May my tongue cling to the roof of my mouth if I do not remember you. If I do not exalt Jerusalem above my chief joy. Let me quickly explain what this means. For you, Jerusalem here refers to the body of Christ. It refers to the kingdom of God. I hope you get what I'm saying. There's what every joint supplies. These are things you must tell yourself. For time's sake, I'll just rush through some of them. Paul says something in Romans chapter 12. He said, we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Each of us is to exercise them accordingly. You are to bring forth what every joint supplies. God sent you to go and build up the kingdom of God. So you know what David now said? Listen, I said you have to climb Mount Ebal. You know I've been saying it. You will talk to yourself. And he said, what did he say? He said, if I forget you, O Jerusalem, if you are not priority in my life, kingdom of God, If building up the body of Christ with the gift that God placed in me is not priority, may my right hand forget her skill. Many of our New Testament Greeks, we don't like things like this. And we say the scriptures are inspired. How can they be inspired when we don't like it? He said, may my tongue cling to the roof of my mouth if I do not remember you. If I do not exalt Jerusalem above my greatest joy. If the progress of the kingdom of God is not more important to me than my own personal achievements. So let anything I plan to do not succeed. What do you do? Meditations of what? Purpose. You sit down and say this. You say to yourself, Banky, listen. You can't like, if you like chase money, if you like chase this, but let me tell you, your right hand will forget her skill. If you don't remember the work of God for your life, it will. Your tongue will cleave to the roof of your mouth because of thirst and dryness and lack of, you know, comfort on any side. If you don't remember and exalt Jerusalem above your own greatest joy. Warn yourself with these things at home. Then this world cannot be swinging you up and down. Let's read a few more scriptures so we can go home. Remember, what are you doing with it? You're just talking to yourself. That's all we are doing with all these things. We're just talking to ourselves. We are saying to ourselves that this is what God, you know, created me to be. You say to yourself, quickly, let's read this one. Second Timothy, chapter 2, from verse 21. Where I'm going is this. The fact that he said you are a vessel prepared for every good work. Paul said to Timothy, therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from all these things, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified, useful to the master, prepared for every... Let's read together because that's our prayer. I don't want us to stay still. We are praying again. When you get home, please use these words in meditation. Use these words in meditation. Are you there? Yeah, read 1, 2, let's go. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from these things, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified, useful to the master, prepared for every good work. Let's just stop reading that one there. What are you going to say to yourself? Listen, remember we say sanctification, all right? You are sanctifying yourself. And you are saying to yourself, God, I must be useful to the master, prepared for every good work. Now listen, we are not praying now. We are doing what? Meditating. You are programming yourself. You are programming yourself. That is not about what I want to achieve, so what I'm useful for. See, teaching one of my kids the other day, a few days ago, I said, oh boy, this life is what you are useful for that matters. So you have two assignments in life. Learn and be useful. You train, you are learned. Then you go out, make sure you are useful. Please, only Satan and those working for Satan will describe what are you going to get out of this life. It's not allowed. It is not allowed. A few more scriptures and we're out of here. These are the things you do. But we are going to read two scriptures. First of all, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7. Open it. I want us to read it together. I could easily read it. Open it up here for me, but I want us to read it together. We're just going to read verse 7. It's our prayer now. This is our meditation. Please make sure you get a copy of this and read. You know, go to the scriptures. See, to yourself. If I do one thing I do sometimes, I compile them. I will sit down. I'm using them to pray. Can I say something? Now, some people won't like what I'm about to say, but it's true. I believe it. Where's Okemude? He's not around. He has a friend. That old man, I'm not sure that old man is normal. I saw the man was abusing Pentecostals. He said, Pentecostals, you say they are speaking in tongues, they talk nonsense. He said they will say something like, Butter Honda Shule Butter Yamaha. Butter Honda Shule Butter Yamaha. I said, look, if you say that fast, it sounds like tongues. You hear what I said? What did I say? I bought a Honda. Shall I bought a Yamaha? I said, that old man is not all right. I want to tell him, if I could see him, because the video I was watching, I said, okay, but you just spoke two languages. And tongues are languages. You bought a Honda. You should have bought a Yamaha. That's Japanese and English combined. What if I told you, Baba, does it sound like anything? But it's Yoruba for whichever one you like to buy, both of them are not good. Speaking in tongues, there's nothing wrong with it. You just don't understand. The old man took time out to abuse Pentecostal. I said, leave that in Oga. Language na language. Now, whether you understand them or you don't understand them, leave that side. That's not part of our message. I just couldn't help talking about that old man. Forgive him. Age is worrying him, all right? All of us. Some of them okay now. Maybe when he's 117 years old. Maybe he was asking, bought a tomato, should I have bought a pepper? I don't know. Just leave that to that. But where I'm just going is that, see, speaking in tongues is good. Nothing wrong with it. But I don't care the spirit that possessed you. It can never be superior to the word of God. That's where I was going. Before you start, carry these scriptures and read them to yourself. You know why? The word of God is what? Alive and active, full of power. It knows how to cure. There's a way you read scriptures. Eh? Desire will just leave your body. I said like this testimony of Pastor Courage. So years ago, somebody told him that he better relocate to the UK. He said, okay. When he was in school, and they began to make arrangements. They told one of the brother, I will be leaving you very shortly. What's going on? I'm relocating to the United Kingdom. That one said, oh, that's very nice. As long as it is the will of God for you. This was his word to me. He said, as soon as he said it, I knew it was not. So I didn't go to pray. As soon as the words came out of that brother's mouth, the moment it became of will of God, no will of God, I knew it was not. And that was the end of the idea. The story I'm telling you was over 30 years ago when he had that conversation. There's something about the word of God there. When you use it, to just make you love what is right and hate what is wrong. I said she opened somewhere, right? Let's be quick. Be honest with you, I don't want to quench the spirit, but we got to go home. Where are we? Oh, yeah, I want to, let's go. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Now that statement is important. To how many one of us? So you can say like this. Grace was given to me according to the measure of Christ's gift. And to whom much is given? Much is required. Say it again. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Now say it like this. Say, grace was given to me. According to the instruction of Christ. According to the commandment of Christ. According to the assignment of Christ. So say Banky. Call your name now. If you call my name there, call your own name. Say, so what will you do with the grace? Call your name. Say, so Banky, what will you now do with the grace? Are you going to abandon it to go and do something else? When Paul said, since we have gifts that differ according to the grace, now open to Romans chapter 12. That's the last one we're reading. And then we just stand up and give thanks and go home. Romans chapter 12. Quickly. What does it say in Romans chapter 12? Are you there? Okay, verse 6. Meditations of purpose. What is it saying? One, two, let's go. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. Read it again. Since we have gifts, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. How many of us to exercise them? Now say it, now read like this. Say, I have my gift. I have grace according to that gift. I have the commandment. To exercise it. That's how you talk to yourself. That's how you talk to yourself. I remember many years ago when I was a senior registrar. I went to see some friends, all right, a family. And I was talking to them. I said I was going to apply for work. Then LASU, Lagos State University, was just opening their medical school. So they're about to step into the second level. And then that's when people like me, my specialty will be needed. And everybody looked at each other like, what? Now, Life was hard. Now, first, life was hard. You know, this kind of thing, like, you're a senior registrar. Life was bad enough as it was. And you want to make a plan for your life. Look at the direction you are facing. And I remember the way they looked at each other that day, like, is this guy okay? What they did not know was that I wanted that job because it was a teaching job. I wasn't thinking of the money. What I was thinking about? Teach. See, let me tell you something about me. I was going to be a teacher, one way or the other. See, if I was going to miss my destiny, it's not into selling oil and gas. No, I'm not kidding. If I was going to miss my destiny, it is not in whether I... No, everybody has what is pushing them. Maybe I don't love money enough. Maybe that's my problem. But you can't put me in a place where I'll be saying, Bele, is your body hot? Is it cold? Bele, find your bomb up, injection, take this tablet, this and that, and then they'll collect your money. Nothing wrong with it. I just know how to do it. Even as a young doctor those days, my best patients were unconscious patients that nobody knew what happened to them. I don't know why. I had this knack for my... There's something they taught us in school. Management of unconscious patients. I loved it. It gave me a challenge mentally. As soon as you wake up and you're fine, I lose interest in you. I don't know why. One thing I could not understand was why I come out in the morning, take a patient's file, check how much PCP since yesterday. I never could get it. His PCP result out. And how many injections did they give him? He would be discussing with the nurse. And I've been looking like, I want to just collapse there and faint. Now, it's not bad though. I just didn't have grace. As a junior resident, one of my chiefs, now a professor in Luth, senior prof there, when I finished teaching, giving a seminar, she got up and said, I must confess, you're a very good teacher. Once, listen, I was a junior resident. They were not senior residents. They were senior to me in residency. They had gone for our first level of exam, what we call part one exams, and they didn't pass. And one major area where they didn't pass was something that had to do with my own department. They were not in my department, they were microbiology. But we shared some things in common. We're all faculties under, departments under the Faculty of Pathology. So, I don't know who told them. If you want to understand these things, send for Dr. Lucina. They were my seniors. So they came and said, ha. They said, you're the one that can explain this thing and will understand. I said, no problem. So we fixed an appointment. I came to their lab. We sat in one corner. And I began to teach these people. Two women. They will burst into laughter. He said, is that what it means? I still remember I was teaching there was kidney pathology. And I was explaining that, you see, when you see this, I'll sketch and I will explain. They say, they will fall on each other. They were my seniors. It was a gift. It's not intelligence. No, it's not intelligence. I'm not describing intelligence. I'm describing what? This intelligence couldn't talk to people. Patients used to bore the life out of me. So you are sick. How is my problem? Honestly, I used to wonder. Meanwhile, I knew the job well. But I just wasn't patient with, you didn't pass urine since yesterday. You don't know where the toilet is. I could never have missed my way to sit down behind one clinic. No. Because I didn't have, there are things you just know you don't have. But teach people, God gave that to me. But what where I now needed to direct me and focus me is, the primary assignment is go and teach the word of God. So, I know me. Woe is me if I don't teach the gospel. These are things you need to tell yourself. I have grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. I must exercise it accordingly. Say that to yourself for 1 minute and then we're out of here. And say many things to yourself. Don't let life be the only one talking to you. Talk yourself into purpose. Talk yourself into purpose. A man comes to marry you and looking at, how will this one help me fulfill my purpose? How? They offer you a job, say, okay, the little I know, how will this one help me now?
Lord, direct me, lead me aright. Say, Lord, direct me, lead me aright. Let your words speak to me. Help me, Father, in the name of Jesus. Oh, I have grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. In the name of Jesus. Take words. Let's speak those words to ourselves. Let's speak those words to ourselves. Speak those words to yourself. I will hear a voice behind me saying, this is the way, walk in it. I'll walk the pathways of Christ.